verses 1 through 9 in Isaiah chapter 64 are part of a communal lament which begins in chapter 63 and continues until the end of chapter 64. This lament is a poetic cry of pain with appeals for God's intervention. The pain expressed is a consequence of the people's sin and describes their separation from God. In these verses, Isaiah is both confessing guilt and appealing to God for mercy, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 64. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned, because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us. You have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson comes from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. But in those days, after suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, the house, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The word of the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, today is the first Sunday of the new year, according to the church calendar. And the church year begins with Advent, a time of anticipation, of preparation, of remembrance. We remember the Lord's first coming, but we also anxiously anticipate and await Christ's second coming. And I find it very interesting that the new year begins right where the old year left off. For the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at parables that Jesus taught concerning his second coming and how we are to live in that meantime as we await his coming. And we begin this week with a text that tells us to be alert, be awake, be watching, for Christ will be coming again. But it's been 2,000 years. I don't imagine any of us wake up in the morning thinking, this will be the day. I'm sure Christ will come today. And we live our lives as if that is a reality. No, I suspect we've become quite comfortable. And we don't think so much about Christ's return. I mean, I believe everyone here, as far as I know, lives in a more than adequate housing situation. I suspect most of us have not missed very many meals. Then we're all doing pretty good. Now, that doesn't say we don't have any problems. You know, there's illness, sickness that we have to face, especially as we get older. There may be money issues that we have to deal with, relationship issues. There are those things that are problems in our lives, but they're nothing like what most of the world, the majority of people in our world, have to face. We've got it pretty good. So I suspect we don't think a lot about that second coming. That's why we need the season of Advent to remind us that Christ will be coming again. So what is it that we hope for when we think of Christ coming again? Do you think about going to heaven? And if you do, what is it you think, what excites you most about going to heaven? If I were to venture a guess of what excites people most, it's their thinking about family reunions. I'm going to heaven, I'm going to see my loved ones, my family, my friends who have died and gone before me. And I look forward to that reunion. Others may be thinking, you know, I'm going to play golf all day long. Or fish. Or on the lake or the water. You know, we think of all these things. How many of us think about it being a worship service? And I think if we thought about it being a worship service 24/7, that would we might not consider that heaven. But where does God fit into that when we think of Christ's return? What are we looking forward to? There's nobody that I know of that is anticipating and looking forward to heaven more than my wife. Now, she assures me she's not planning on going there anytime soon. But she really looks forward to that day. And she has a song picked out that will be sang at her memorial service I got it written down. I Can Only Imagine. And I want to read to you the chorus of that song, because it gets to the essence of the song. And this is when you first get up to heaven. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance with you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. The Bible doesn't really tell us a lot about heaven, what it's going to be like. And what it does say is written in pretty cryptic terms that we don't fully understand. So when we talk about our Advent hope, what I think we're really wanting to get at is when we think that Christ will come again, and that God's creation, the purpose and dreams that God has for this wonderful creation that God has made, will be fulfilled. That peace and justice will rule the day, rule all time, that suffering, sin, and death will be no more, and that we will be in the presence of Jesus for an eternity. Our Advent hope is the assurance that we have that Christ will come again. And in that assurance, we can live confidently in our faith, and we can seek to be living out that faith and pursuing those values of God's kingdom, the peace and the justice that we hope will rule the day. We can seek to be making that happen now. That we can seek to be alleviating suffering, sharing how people's sins might be forgiven and how they might experience a new life that offers hope, peace, love, and joy. Those themes that we'll talk about throughout Advent. But our assurance is that God wins in the end. Let me close with a story. I imagine you've all seen the movie Ben-Hur. That wonderful movie dealing with Ben-Hur living in the times of Jesus. And I'm sure you've seen that epic chariot race. Well, they had to build this huge, elaborate set for that chariot race. And they brought in a whole bunch of stuntmen. And the stuntmen, along with Charlton Heston, all had to learn how to drive and control those four-horse chariots. And Charlton Heston was actually pretty good at it. He picked it up pretty quick. But he still had doubts of his ability that he could actually win the race, which he was supposed to do. So he took his concerns to the director. And the director said, "Charlton, you stay in the chariot. I'll make sure you win the race." As we look at this week of Advent, this week of hope, let us keep our faith. Let us stay in the chariot, so to speak. Let us be about this work of God's kingdom, knowing that God wins in the end and that we will be part of that victory. That is our Christian hope in this Advent season. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you are with us. Thank you for our hope that you win in the end and that death, that suffering and sin will be no more, that peace and justice will rule, and that we will be with you forever. We pray this in the name of our Savior who came and lived among us, who died and was raised from the dead, and will come again. Amen.